Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ivanice, a.k.a. La Sicaria, a.k.a. the baddest bitch in the building from Lucha Underground, and you're listening to the Oversell Wrestling Podcast.
It is episode 125, and we are looking back at the Superstar Shakeup and talking about Bruno Sammartino. Get ready. This is the Oversell Podcast! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 125 of the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I'm Mike.
And we are here to talk some professional wrestling. Kind of a bummer week for the world of professional wrestling. The wrestling world lost before Roman Reigns, before John Cena, before Rock, Austin, HBK, before Hogan and Macho Man. There was Bruno Sammartino, who passed away yesterday, and the long-lasting impact he has had on the pro wrestling world is always going to be felt. There are wrestlers that are professional wrestlers now because they got to see Bruno Sammartino up at Madison Square Garden, and it's just
the house that he built.
Right, right, and it just very sad. 82 years old, I believe.
82, yeah.
And, man, it's just something else. It really is. He was a little bit before my time, but I know he tore down the house in Madison Square Garden. You know, he was Vincent Kennedy McMahon Sr.'s boy. He was an immigrant from Italy that escaped Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, and this is a crazy story, apparently he was bullied as a kid, and because of a Jewish classmate introduced him to weightlifting, that's how he got into weightlifting.
Yep.
And ended up becoming a bodybuilder at one point, and then he moved into professional wrestling and became probably one of, if not the greatest world heavyweight champion of all time. His reign is not even close to being beaten. He was like a champion for 7 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Over 4,000 days.
And then, you know, combined runs, he held the champ. He was champion, world champion for over 11 years.
Uh-huh. That's...
He had two different runs with it, and combined, he held it for over 11 years.
That's just incredible. You never see that anymore.
No.
In professional wrestling today. And
granted, it was because it was a different time. I mean,
right,
with
right.
The territories, and, you know, they weren't wrestling 300 days a year like they are now in,
right.
in WWE, at least.
Which that would have been the old WWWF, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, before Vince McMahon bought it from his father. So,
and he was the second world champion. He beat Buddy Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, held it for over seven years. It was
incredible.
Almost eight.
Incredible.
And then he was the first two-time world champion ever also.
Wow.
So,
our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, if you're up there in heaven, I hope you get this message from us. Not that, you know, we ever met you or anything like that, but sure, hopefully he's listening, and thank you for everything that you gave, both as a person to humanity and to what you gave in professional wrestling. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Bruno Sammartino in this very, very, very difficult time. That being said, if you're a journalist and you put out a tweet denying reports of the man the day after it's, or the day it's announced he passed away, you can go to hell. And I don't care if you're the biggest pro wrestling writer or not, you don't fucking do that. That's all I'm going to say about it. You know who you are.
We know you're listening.
Yeah, because he listens to podcasts like ours. He may. Maybe he does. We had the Superstar Shakeup this week, starting on Raw. A lot of movement this year.
A whole lot.
A lot of movement.
I mean, it's probably the same amount as every year, but it just seemed like a lot.
First off, you know, Vince needs to get past several things. Like the fact...
Asians?
No, he needs to get... Well, oh, okay. He needs to... You know, he never wants to use the word draft anymore.
Right.
He never wants to use the word tournament. Like, I guess if I ever kidnapped Vince McMahon and put him in a room, I would just play the words tournament over and over.
Sneezes.
I would make him sneeze. I'd throw pepper in his face every hour. But it's just, it's just how interesting of a man he is that he doesn't like the word tournament. It's not a tournament, damn it. It's an eliminator. Like, come on, man. But anyway.
It's just him wanting to be different than everybody else. Now, granted, I am glad that they don't do the draft anymore.
I think.
I didn't like the whole, taking time to pick and all that.
But here's how they should have done it. They could have done it as a special on the network, just an hour special on a Sunday night. Or it didn't have to take place over Raw and SmackDown. They could have done a network special. They could have had all the wrestlers in an auditorium or a theater or something like that. And Stephanie, I guess it was at the time it was Stephanie and Shane, right? And Daniel, and it was Stephanie and McFoley. And was it Shane and Daniel then? Yeah, it was Shane and Daniel from the get-go for SmackDown. They haven't changed, but the only thing that's changed about Raw is who the GM is. So they could now, if they redid this, they could put Steph and Kurt Angle on one side. They could have...
Right now it would be
Shane and Paige. Right. On the other. The wrestlers are in the theaters. They come up when they're picked. They take a Raw hat, a Raw shirt. They put it on... Make it just like the NFL draft.
Like a major sports thing.
Right. Yeah. They take the hat, they put it on, picture, all that jazz, and you do it until everyone's drafted in the theater. Then you could have maybe some surprises, like some NXT guys or these are the NXT guys that are draft eligible or something like that. But the superstar shakeup, like, you don't get any rules as to who was being picked from and what all, if you're going to do it that way, show us what kind of negotiations they had. I don't know.
Right.
It just seems...
Because, right now it just seems like by this date, everybody's a free agent.
Right.
And they're just, okay, yeah, I'm going to pick you. And, you're going to be here now. And it does take away from it. But, like I said, the way they were doing the draft, I didn't really like that setup.
Yeah, that was
what you're
weird.
Talking about, if they actually made it like one big thing, that would be pretty cool. But having it, having them go back and forth on...
Yeah,
on
it was very weirdly done. I don't know.
Now, granted, that was a way to fill up part of Raw when they did it that way. But
I don't know. It was just very awkward and strange the way they did it that first time. And then I guess Vince hated it so much that he came up with this
superstar
shakeup. So. Started off big, you had Jinder Mahal come over and challenge, or he had a challenger for his United States title, Jeff Hardy.
Yep.
Jeff Hardy wins, and the next night he appears on SmackDown as a champion, which, Shelton Benjamin, I love you. You don't need a microphone in your face. That promo was just...
But that makes Jeff Hardy a Grand Slam champion.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big accomplishment for him, too. Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was like 10 years, maybe exactly to the day or something, that Jeff Hardy and Shelton Benjamin wrestling on SmackDown for the United States title.
Right.
When Shelton Benjamin held it at the time.
Right.
And that was pretty cool.
So who else came to Raw? We had...
Tons of people. Riot Squad.
Riot Squad came over.
Basically, they just kind of swapped Riot Squad and Absolution.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see if they get made Paige a little heelish and Absolution is kind of... doing her bidding or something, they're enforcers for or something like that. That would be kind of cool. You had
Owens and Zayn went to Raw.
Yes, I love that. I love that Kevin Owens is back home where he needs to be on Raw. You had The Miz move to SmackDown, which is huge because this is like the culmination of something that has been going on for years now.
With Daniel Bryan.
Right, so we're finally going to get some payoff there.
Hopefully.
that we're going to. Because they have a match at the Greatest Royal Rumble, I think.
Or did they announce that?
Finally? Or they're going to have, or maybe it's maybe it's at a show. I don't know. They're going to, eventually they're going to have the match. It's going to be an awesome match because The Miz is awesome right now.
I know Ziggler moved to Raw.
Yeah, and the crowd went mild for that one.
Came out with, he brought out
Drew McIntyre. That was nice, seeing D-Mac back. And I love the combination of the kick, what does he call his kick?
I don't remember now.
And the zigzag together, that was actually pretty cool.
But the big news about that is that all members of Three Man Band are on Raw again.
No, I don't care. So I don't care. Tag teams.
Fingers crossed.
We had some tag teams move over, didn't we? I know the Bar went to SmackDown. Gallows and Anderson went to SmackDown, which hopefully they're going to do some more work with AJ Styles again because they had a really good run there when they kept doing the whole, we beat up John Cena.
Yep.
Let's see. Let's pull it up.
Natalya went to Raw.
Yeah, and it's going to be, they set up something interesting between her and Ronda where they're going to be friends. Well, Natty doesn't do good with friends eventually in the WWE, so there's going to be...
But they moved her over there because that's who was helping train Ronda. So keeping them together on the same show is, you know,
hey,
nothing but beneficial for Ronda.
If you've never listened to this podcast before, I'll say this. I am a huge fan of Natalya, and I always have been. I think she's one of the most talented women on the roster. And Charlotte would be... You know, probably right above her now, but she's still one of the top women wrestlers. Let's see. We had Zack Ryder. No one cared. Breezango came over to Raw.
Yeah, that's right.
Natalya, Mojo Rawley, Dolph Ziggler, D-Mac, Baron Corbin. And that's interesting in itself because I think Baron Corbin's close to getting a title run. I really do. Mike Kanellis.
Yeah.
The Ascension, which...
Well, they had to come over since Breezango did.
Bobby Roode and
Chad
Gable. Bobby Roode, do you think he's kind of getting lost in the shuffle?
I think so right now, yeah.
You think?
I think it was too soon to take the title off of him.
The U.S. title.
Yeah.
At Mania.
Yeah.
I think I can agree with that. I think he works... He needs a heel turn. And I hate to be that guy that says this guy needs to turn heel, but Bobby Roode just seems like a more natural heel.
It's hard to be heel with that music, though.
Yeah,
they'd have
to change it. That would be the first thing they'd change, and I'd be all for that. You know, I love Glorious just as much as anybody, but...
It would make it that more impactful if, like, he turned heel for a while, and then, you know, he turns back face at one point, and you hear, you know, the Glorious start, and I mean, that would be huge.
Right. Yeah, it's just... I don't know. It's kind of he was big in NXT and then just came to the main roster.
And they were hoping that, you know, he was going to be, you know, one of the top faces.
Yeah, he's like Triple H. He just needs to be a heel. SmackDown got Jeff Hardy, Absolution, Samoa Joe. They're going to get Sanity, which is interesting. But Nikki Cross was not. That kind of sucks because I really like Nikki Cross, but that's also good for the NXT women's division because, you know, they need some names to stay down there, and Nikki Cross would be that. Big Cass, which it's going to be interesting to see if they pair him up with The Miz. I think that would be really good. Asuka, and the look on Carmella's face when Asuka came out. Carmella is a great heel.
She's killing it right now.
I think she is. I think she's doing great, and, you know, she gets a lot of hate, but, I mean, the Melibration could have been better. Yeah, anything could always be better, but when Asuka came out, that was her facial expressions were perfect. She looked worried.
She sold it.
Which makes Asuka still look like a big deal. We say Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, Cesaro and Sheamus, The Bar. R-Truth apparently moved to SmackDown, but I didn't even know he was just on Raw. And we'll have a call-up for Andrade, CN Almas, and Zelina Vega.
Yep.
And you know what makes me happy about that? You're getting an Alberto Del Rio-type character you can use that's not Alberto Del Rio.
Because he is unemployed right now.
Because he's a dick. And, you know, I hope he never gets hired back by the WWE because, for one, I think Paige is now in a good place now. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see that upset by that piece of shit, Alberto Del Rio.
Apparently he's been talking about, like, he's been saying it for a while now, and it's getting closer that he's talking about just moving on from wrestling completely this year.
Okay, good.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Good. Go try MMA and get your face punched a bunch. That would be fun. So,
bunches of punches.
That's a superstar shakeup. I mean, who came out looking better in your opinion after the superstar shakeup?
What if you stopped and just asked that question at the end of Raw? You would think Miz looked awesome because he was the only person that they announced was going to SmackDown by that point. And it's like they traded the entire roster just for Miz. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, I just thought that made him look good. I mean, I know it really didn't have anything to do with it because we had a whole other night to go for this. But at that point, it just made it look good. I really think Raw got better.
Okay.
I mean, just with Owens and Zayn. I really like D-Mac coming up. Mm-hmm. SmackDown got pretty good though with Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe, The Miz.
Miz, of course.
I think the addition of Big Cass was great, and it makes sense that Raw has the deeper roster because it's 3 hours long.
Right.
But you're going to look at what you're going to be getting the next couple of months from SmackDown. You're going to get the payoff from Miz and DB, which hopefully Miz gets a couple of wins first, and then DB gets like the big win at Survivor Series.
Right.
Team Miz versus Daniel Bryan at Survivor Series versus Team Daniel Bryan. And Miz could get like Nakamura. Daniel Bryan could get AJ Styles.
Yep.
Team Miz would have
hopefully
Big Cass.
He can get, you know, AJ and Gallows and Anderson.
There you go. It writes itself. So that could be really interesting. To me, after the superstar shakeup, after 2 days, I think SmackDown's got the better brand. I really do. Nakamura, Bryan, AJ Styles. And Nakamura as a heel is fucking great.
Yeah.
He just looks more comfortable in the role. He looks like he's enjoying it just a little bit more, and he just looks a lot better since he's turned heel. And that was incredible. You got, like I said, Big Cass. You got Asuka coming over, which is going to boost up their women's division. And they kept Charlotte. They kept Becky Lynch. You got Naomi. And their tag team division, I think, has gotten better. You got Gallows and Anderson, The Bar. You've got the Bludgeon Brothers and the Usos.
They still have New Day.
Yeah, so SmackDown Live, I think, has the better tag team division.
Oh yeah,
than the Monday Night Raw division. Now, a lot of people were griping because like Seth or Finn or anything like that didn't move, but I don't mind that. I don't think right now Seth and Finn are just solid mid-carders. They're in a great spot on Raw, and you still have Reigns.
They can be called up to the main event at any time.
Yep. You also have Reigns there. You know, all the Reigns haters about to come in on me. Reigns, I've said it every week, Reigns hasn't had a bad match in 3 years.
Right.
You still have Brock, but we don't know how long that contract is. You still have...
I was really hoping to see something with Sanity and Bray Wyatt, but being on separate shows now...
Yeah, and wait a minute. And Bray Wyatt... and Matt Hardy are taking on The Bar for the Raw.
Well,
the winner,
yeah.
The winner wins the Raw Tag Team Championships, right?
Right.
So they kind of booked themselves into a corner there because you're not going to have The Bar move to SmackDown then win the Raw Tag Team titles, right?
You wouldn't think so.
So the writing's kind of on the wall there, you'd think, until Vince pulls some swerve out of his ass.
Or
the Eliminator.
It could be planned like that to throw a swerve at everybody and, you know, for a short amount of time for some reason, have both tag titles on SmackDown.
Yeah, no, I don't see them doing that. I think the writing's on the wall now. Wyatt and Hardy are going to be your new Raw Tag Team Champions, which I'm happy for Bray Wyatt gets a title. He's actually being booked favorably since he fell into the lake of reincarnation.
We'll see how long that lasts, though.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what a team does, like a team like the Miztourage does, without the Miz there with them. Because I mean,
they'll probably be repackaged again.
Well, you know, I would love to see. I would love to see Bo join Wyatt and Bray. Maybe he fought that. Maybe they do another tag team thing, and they do it like the Ultimate Deletion, or what do they call it in Raw? On Raw,
I thought that's what it was.
Was it the Ultimate Deletion?
Yeah.
So maybe that Bo and Curtis are in that, and Bo falls in the Lake of Reincarnation and becomes
Sister Abigail.
Yeah, no. That's going to be when Bailey falls into the Lake of Reincarnation when she comes. They gave away
thing Bo ever said.
They gave away Charlotte and Bailey for free on television. Now, granted, there was an attack during the match, wasn't it?
Right.
Who interfered? Was it the Riot Squad?
Yeah, I think that's how they came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, they interfered in that match and beat the hell out of those two. So it's kind of a unit.
Absolution.
Was it? No, I thought it was Riot Squad. That's how
they moved to Raw. Riot Squad moved to Raw.
Right, and they had Bailey and Sasha had the match on.
Oh,
Monday,
okay.
And then they interfered.
Because you said Charlotte.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that threw me off when you said Charlotte.
No. Yeah. So I like the Riot Squad. I really do. Something about Sarah Logan. I really like her. Yeah,
it's kind of weird that they just swapped, you know, Riot Squad and Absolution. I mean, granted, you don't really need them on the same show, but it's odd that they swapped them when they haven't really been there for that long.
Yeah, but I think overall Riot Squad was doing a little bit better than Absolution, especially when you have a member like Paige that couldn't even wrestle.
Right.
I love the interaction between Ronda Rousey and Absolution.
Yeah.
Because watching her and Sonya Deville go at it, that was pretty good. You know, there could be a match down the road.
Yeah.
Whenever Rousey or one of them moves to the same brand. And you know, I kept thinking, like, when Rousey was walking Natty up, it's like I could just see Ronda making that scowl on her face and then putting Natalya and like making her join. Imagine her joining Absolution by turning on Natalya that night. That would have been some good.
Oh, yeah.
But then she would have had to move to SmackDown. So
right.
I guess it makes sense why they did that. Trying to think of other things that happened on Raw this week that are discussion worthy. Reigns keeps calling out Lesnar for not being there, which is interesting. What else you want to talk about? Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles have a fight. They tagged against, who'd they tag against?
It was Nakamura and...
No, because Nakamura came and interfered and gave a low blow to AJ Styles.
Yeah, I don't remember now because...
It wasn't the Miz because he wasn't there. Then Big Cass came out and put a big boot on Daniel Bryan.
Right.
I think Big Cass is going to end up being a better version of Test.
You can see that. I mean, they've got the same build and somewhat. I mean,
kind of look alike in the
solid,
face, too.
But yeah.
Got the in their mouths, they kind of look the same as well. So,
something that I'm kind of upset about. Well, I've got caught back up on Impact.
Okay.
And they've got a pay per view coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I hear the card for it doesn't actually look too bad.
Yeah, it's decent card actually. I'm not gonna order the pay per view or anything, but they just had their Feast or Fired thing a couple weeks ago. And if you don't know what that is, every year they'll have a match. It's got four or five briefcases and, you know, multiple people in the match. Whoever can get those briefcases, they're in Feast or Fired. And then they all get together and open up the briefcases. And like this year there's four. There was three different title shots, World Heavyweight, X Division, and tag titles. And then the fourth one is a pink slip. You're fired. Okay. Moose ended up getting the world title shot.
Awesome.
I think it was Petey Williams ended up getting the X Division.
Makes sense.
And Eli Drake got tag titles.
Okay.
EC3 got fired.
Well, of
finally,
course.
I mean, that's how far it's been.
Right.
You know, he just got fired 2 weeks ago, and he's been in WWE for, you know, a few months. So uh-huh. that's how far ahead they like film stuff. Of course, Eli Drake didn't want the tag titles and just going full heel. Just, you know, he deserves the world title shot.
Of course.
So
he, dummy, yeah.
Yeah, basically. He challenged Moose in a briefcase for briefcase match and ended up winning. So
oh, wow.
Moose didn't get his shot, and Eli Drake's got two briefcases now. Mm-hmm. And currently, LAX, Latin American Exchange, is the tag titles. You know, they're run by Conan.
Okay.
But he's not actually wrestling now.
That's good.
And they came out wanting to know who Eli Drake's tag team partner was going to be, because they've got to wrestle for the titles at the pay-per-view. And he starts talking up the person. He's like, this is probably one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time. And, you know, just kept talking him up. Out comes Scott Steiner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wish I could have seen your face when Scott Steiner walked in.
Yeah, he comes out and he's talking all his trash. And, I mean, he's looking old.
Yeah.
And then they had a conference call with Scott Steiner that they aired, and he went full heel, and like he stepped over the line to get heat.
Okay.
Just as Scott Steiner does.
Yeah, that's his game.
I mean, since they're going against the Latin American Exchange, he made a comment about how Trump is wanting to get rid of all the immigrants.
Oh, no.
And he was like, if he does that, who's going to cut the grass? I tell you who Conan's going to.
Oh.
And he started making remarks about fat people, and I mean he was going off, and a lot of people are thinking, okay, you know, you kind of crossed the line there between, you know, entertainment as a heel and just being a total dick.
I think it was Daniel on this podcast, Daniel Jones at One Dangerous Dan on Twitter, mm-hmm. who said you should never hand a live microphone over to Scott Steiner.
Yep.
And what you just said reinforces his point.
Oh, yeah.
We miss you, Dan. He's going to come back on eventually. I think he's just been super slammed with work and life. And hopefully things are going to slow down. We can get our man in East Tennessee now. I'm just kidding. We love you, Dan. And he's doing a lot of stuff with Innovate Championship Wrestling over there, where you can find them on YouTube.
He's been doing some training of his own,
right?
Making a return.
Yep, and he recently went to Ricky Morton's school.
Yep.
So
Morton,
Dan, we miss you on the show, but man, if you're going to get back in the ring, I'm really happy for you, and I really miss you. Miss talking to you every week. Hopefully, you'll listen to this. Hopefully, he listens to this on the podcast here.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Anything else going on in Impact Land?
Rosemary's still killing it. I think
great wrestler.
Like right now in Impact, to me, Rosemary and Eli Drake are the top two just carrying the show.
Who else is on Impact these days that are big names?
Moose.
Of course, Moose. Other than them.
They've been through a thing right now where they've kind of brought back a lot of people from the earlier years.
Mm-hmm.
Recently brought back Petey Williams, Sanjay Dutt.
Okay.
Brought him back. He's commentating now.
Mm-hmm. It's only a matter of time, right?
Well, no, I mean, he came back and wrestled like for a few months.
Oh, okay.
And then there was, you know, they lost Jeremy Borash. Mm-hmm. He went to, you know, WWE. NXT and all. So,
well, actually, he produced the Ultimate Deletion.
Yeah, he did.
So,
yeah. But I mean, like, he left, you know, EC3 left, Bobby Lashley left, all that. There was a whole bunch of changes. So they had to have somebody else pop on to commentary, so mm-hmm. they chose Sanjay Dutt for some reason.
Okay.
And now him and Josh Matthews are doing that. But you still got, you know, in the knockouts, you've got Rosemary, Taya Valkyrie.
I'm really happy she's over there, because yeah. she is so, so talented.
Yeah.
She really is.
Her and Rosemary have had a pretty good feud.
Is Mundo or Johnny Impact?
Yeah, he's still over there. You've got Allie right now.
Good.
Who's great.
Formerly known as Cherry Bomb.
Right. She's currently the Knockouts champion.
Okay.
Chelsea
Green still over there?
No, she just left about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. She's okay.
Just doing independence.
Yeah. They just brought in the undead bride, Sue Young.
Okay. Tell me about her.
She comes out dressed like a zombie bride, basically. Just kind of a brutal style. I mean, she's kind of like Rosemary, only, you know, Rosemary's not undead or whatever. I mean, that's Rosemary's more of, honestly, what you would think Sister Abigail would be like. But, I don't know, she just comes out and she's got all the, I mean, an undead bride. That's the best way I can explain it, because that's what, you know, what she goes by.
Okay.
Who else do they have? They've still got the X Division going on. Matt Sydal, X Division champion right now.
Awesome.
Austin Aries is the world champ.
Which he, and did I tell you he came out at the Ring of Honor show?
No, but I saw that he did.
Yeah, he came out and is going to be challenging, I guess, for one of their titles there. He helped Kenny King from Tough Enough Season 2, the fact that he's wrestling still just blows my mind.
He was in TNA for a while.
He came out and helped Kenny King out after getting beat by Silas Young for the ROH TV title, so maybe he's looking to add the ROH TV title to his collection.
Yeah, he comes out to the ring at Impact with like 5 titles.
That's awesome.
He just collects titles, and he's even said in interviews, he's like, you know what, because he was talking about the over WrestleMania weekend where they had Impact versus Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
And he was talking about at that point, you know, he's trying to help do things like this more often, to where more companies work together so you can have more of these dream matches that you never even thought was possible. And by having all these titles and getting, you know, showing that, okay, yeah, there are other promotions out there other than what you see on TV. And I think I think it's a great idea.
I do too. Cause that's one thing New Japan will do. If you're champions, in other words, like if you're the Rev Pro champ, or anything else like that, you'll come out with those titles.
Right.
You know, they always do the Ring of Honor folks. So yeah, I really liked it. I like that gimmick, and I like that their other promotions are letting him come in and do it.
You know, he was supposed to wrestle Alberto El Patron.
Yep.
Then he no showed, so they changed some stuff around. So now at the pay per view this weekend, Austin Aries is defending the title in a triple threat match against Phoenix and Pentagon Jr.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Phoenix, as in, like, from Lucha Underground Phoenix. Wow. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love any time to get to see Pentagon Jr. I may have to find a way to check some of this show out. I forgot to tell you about, and I forgot to tell our listeners last week about a spot. Matt Riddle wrestled 8 shows, and one of them I got to see him at was called Progress Wrestling. This is _progress on Twitter. Go follow them. There, you just announced their lineup for the Strong Style 16 tournament. Holy shit, dude. It looks like it's got some badass talent in it. But he wrestled against Jimmy Havoc in Progress. Matt Riddle does not wrestle with anything on his feet, completely barefoot.
Right.
During this match, and I looked at my cousin a couple of times, and he'd look it back at me. He's like, dude, this is uncomfortable. Jimmy Havoc was biting his feet. He was slamming bare feet into the ring steps, doing all sorts of just bad spots with his feet, to where at some point he ended up, I don't know where he got it from, he had a sheet of paper and gave paper cuts to Matt Riddle's feet. And I looked at Ted, and he was like, oh my God, this is hard to watch. Well, that seemed to be all the rage at some of these shows, because there's another guy that wrestles that's a part of Catch Point for Evolve.
Mm.
He wrestles without anything on his feet. They put his feet in a ladder and then closed it really hard on his feet. And like barefoot spots just really, really, really hurt.
That's what
me.
Made Die Hard so unbearable at some points.
Shoot the gloss.
Yeah.
Shoot it. Oh, man.
But something else about Impact. I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive I'm right, because I'm me and I'm usually right about stuff. But, you know, Impact...
And you don't toot your own horn anyway.
Exactly. But, you know, Impact will tape multiple shows over
NXT.
Couple days.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain, saw a friend of the show, Trina.
Trina Della Muerte.
Smarky Mark or yeah,
no,
something?
Actually, she's Trina Della Muerte. Okay, I tried to get her on the show.
Now? Okay.
Tried to get her on the show this week. If you're listening, Trina, I know you're super busy. You have, there's like three people other than Dan that have open invites on the show. That's Trina, that's Fred, and that's Shaggy.
Right.
Those guys, all they have to do is say, hey, can I come on your show and talk some wrestling with you? All you have to do is ask.
Yep.
And I think the highly of the world of those three people outside of you and Dan. You know, they are always welcome on this show whenever the hell they want to go.
But I'm pretty sure I've seen her at ringside for Impact.
Nice.
For several episodes. I mean, obviously, since they tape them all at once, I mean, she's been in the same spot every time. And if it's not her, it's a doppelganger, but I'm fairly certain that's.
Well, where are they filming at?
Still down Orlando area.
Well, I think she lives in California, so it's probably a lookalike. Trina, if you're listening, let me know if you've been to Impact tapings.
If not, you have a doppelganger, and I will show you.
Well, I mean, yeah. yeah, man. Yeah. What else you want to talk about?
Something I wanted to bring up.
Uh-oh.
Since we didn't really...
And the look on your face.
Oh, no.
When you said that.
No, nothing like that. You know, we didn't really talk that much about the Hall of Fame when we did the review and all.
Yeah. I'm glad I did, but...
Wasn't really going to talk too much about the Hall of Fame this year anyway. I mean, that's not what I'm bringing up.
And let me start off with this. I'm glad we didn't go to that because apparently there's a measles outbreak. Now, I've got my immunizations from it, but damn. How the hell are you going to have a disease from the 1800s that should have been eradicated by immunizations show up at a fucking Hall of Fame ceremony?
Yeah. Like, how do you... Why would you get on a plane and travel somewhere when you have that? I mean...
Yeah. Highly contagious and, like I said, should be eradicated due to vaccinations, but whatever. That's a whole political right. argument for a whole nother time.
Right.
Anyway, what do you want to talk about the Hall of Fame?
But basically, I wanted to bring up... who do you think... It's a couple different things, and that's why I didn't bring it up prior. I want you to just kind of go right off the top of your head. Basically, to start out, who do you think currently in WWE are, like, guaranteed, you know, future Hall of Famers?
Currently in the WWE?
Yeah.
Brock is going to be one.
Right.
Jericho? Well, right. I mean, I guess. Does he count?
Yeah, he's still...
Okay.
He's
Heyman.
Still active.
Heyman.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I'm thinking, you know, Taker, guarantee.
Yeah.
Cena.
Of course. Yeah. They'll find a reason to put in the Bella Twins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, one day.
Kane.
Big Show,
definitely.
Rey Mysterio. I know he's not, like, active all the time, but he is a future WWE Hall of Famer. Right. He's going to be wrestling at the Greatest Royal Rumble, too. Let's see. It's a good question. It really,
I mean,
is.
One that you would hate, but Orton. We know it's going to happen. Orton,
yeah.
He definitely would be
not worth it.
I mean, I think already right now, even though he hasn't been in WWE long, he has had a long career. AJ Styles.
Yep,
he'll definitely be in.
DB.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan will be.
You know, and it's in a way, it's kind of hard to say with some people because, like, if you look at some of the classes, like, Jeff Jarrett, to me, wasn't a WWE Hall of Famer. And then people will say, well, he's done other things in wrestling, but WWE only cares about the WWE stuff.
There's very few exceptions. Like, Sting was an exception.
Yeah,
I mean, they recognized his
Goldberg
talent.
Goldberg. Man, other than those we named, I can't think of anyone else.
I mean, I think the Hardys.
Yeah. Matt and Jeff will. We said.
And do you think they're ever gonna, you know, do? Do you think Ric Flair is gonna be the only one that's in there multiple times, or do you think they're gonna do, like, you know, DX? They'll be going in as a group, and you know, Edge is already in there, but are they gonna do Edge and Christian as a tag team?
I think they're going separately. Christian got into the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not in yet.
He's
they joked about that when they were inducting the Dudleys. You know, as they came out, Christian started doing a thank you speech because he thought Edge was inducting him.
Yeah, I think Christian is a, if you're going to call Jeff Jarrett a Hall of Famer, you had to call Christian one.
And Christian was a heavyweight champion a couple times. I know at least once, maybe twice.
Booker T, is he a Hall of Famer yet?
Yeah, he's in there.
Then you have all the weird ass celebrities that they seem to pick. Which don't even get me started on those. Andy Kaufman.
All right. And then I was going to say who isn't in there now but you think should be. I mean, they're not necessarily current anymore, but
wow.
That aren't a part of it that really should be by now.
I'll tell you what, off the top of my head, here's a name that's going to be kind of out of left field. Viscera.
Okay.
Big guy, you know, had a great wrestling career, wrestled. He had multiple gimmicks. King Mabel.
Yep.
Viscera would be one. Is Yokozuna's in, right? He's got, did he get in posthumously? Yeah.
One that I'm thinking of that I don't believe is in there, Eric Bischoff.
That'd be interesting.
I really think he should be in there.
You know, he was a big part of, would he be considered the Ruthless Aggression era, or is he Attitude era?
I think a lot of it would be for, you know, what he did in WCW and the Monday Night Wars. But, I mean, when he did come to WWE, I mean, he had a great on-screen character.
Yeah, and
he did a lot for the business.
But was he Attitude Era? Well, did he come in at the tail end? Because they're still doing, like, hot lesbian action with him.
And yeah, that was I think it really was the Ruthless Aggression era when he came in.
Let's see. Owen.
Owen, definitely.
Easily.
You think X-Pac will go in?
Ooh, you know, that's a tough one.
I mean, I kind of think he's on like a Jeff Jarrett kind of level when it comes to recognition in WWE. But
right. Well, he had a, if they consider his stuff with both being in DX and NWO.
And NWO. I mean, he held the light heavyweight title a couple times. I think he was tag champ.
I think he's had a career enough for it, you know. How he became the 1-2-3 kid over the Lightning Kid, that's a moment that always will stick out.
Right.
I would think he gets in eventually. Maybe.
They have the whole clique in there. Triple H is another one we forgot that. Triple H is guaranteed.
Well, it's
Stephanie. I think she's guaranteed to be in there.
It'd be interesting. See, it'd be interesting if the McMahons don't put themselves in it, since they kind of control it. So maybe you don't see Shane or Steph in it. I think I know who should get in it. Nicholas. The youngest champion ever in the WWE is going to be in one day.
I can see him putting Sheamus in.
Hmm.
He's multi-time champion, multi-time tag champ, Royal Rumble winner.
Yep. Batista.
Yeah.
He'll be in eventually.
I'm trying to think back of, former
Joey Styles.
Yeah, he should definitely be in.
He should really be in.
You think they'll ever put RVD in?
No.
They've had problems with it because of...
No, they won't. Unless he gives up the ganja, which I saw an interesting article or is an interview with Matt Riddle. And, you know, he was in the UFC and he got popped for... marijuana multiple times, but he explained it like, I was using marijuana as pain management, you know.
Right.
I was being prescribed pain pills and opioids and all this stuff, and I didn't want to do that to my body, so I used pot, you know, and, you know, it's just pot. And I was like, you know, he makes a really good argument if, you know, when it becomes legal everywhere.
Yeah.
You will see Matt Riddle in the WWE when they don't they won't get in trouble for testing for it. I mean, I want that to happen, A, because I like Matt Riddle, but two, it would be if wrestlers are using it smartly for pain management. Go, you know, take an edible or something like that. You know, they put their bodies through so much and they travel so much that. You know, there's only one way for their body to ultimately relax. That's not laying in a hot tub. It's not, you know, how many pills did at some point, was it? It wasn't Ken Shamrock. It was, who was the American Eagle guy? What was his name? The Patriot. Do you remember the Patriot?
Oh, yeah.
He was taking some 100 160 pills a day or something like that for pain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. So these guys, I mean, granted, it's got to be legal everywhere. I'm not saying go do it. All I'm saying is once it becomes legal, I would hope the WWE would relax their testing for it just so the wrestlers can manage their pain a little better without having to take Percocet or Vicodin or muscle relaxers or anything like that.
But you brought up another name.
Who's that?
Ken Shamrock. Do you think he would
ever? I think he would. I think he should be. I mean,
he's never mentioned in anything anymore.
You know, he kicked off. He was a big part of. He was an instrumental part in kicking off the Attitude Era.
Yeah,
everyone loves the Attitude Era. Shamrock was in that match where he, you know, ended the match because Stone Cold passed out.
Yeah,
that
and he had a pretty good run as a wrestler too.
Great Intercontinental Champion run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was part of Stables Corporation and stuff like that. Yeah, I'd say Ken Shamrock's a WWE Hall of Famer. Now I don't know if maybe it's just because they can't come to a mutual agreement on money or something like that. But I think he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Another one I've thought of, still active but not necessarily in WWE, but Tommy Dreamer. They've got to recognize him.
Oh my God, if they're gonna put the Dudleys in.
Yeah.
They have to put Tommy Dreamer in. I mean, instrumental part of ECW. The only guy to be employed by ECW the entire time that company was running. Was a major part of the WWE CW.
Yeah.
And was a big part of the hardcore division. And I think, easily. Now, as far as ECW originals go, there's not many of them I'd put in. But Tommy Dreamer would be one of them.
I really think Taz.
Taz.
They need to put Taz in.
Yeah, because Taz also had a good run in the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a great commentator.
Yeah.
So, Taz, from the ECW guys, Taz, Joey Styles, Dreamer. You know, there's not too many of those guys you want to hand a live mic to. Like,
right.
Like, I want to say Sabu, but then again, maybe not. You know, they already got the Dudleys in from ECW. Maybe the Dudleys open the door for more ECW stars to come in. Maybe next year we get Dreamer in. And I'd be all for that. I always have been a fan of Tommy Dreamer. Always have been.
He's been one of those guys that you know is doing it for the business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... You know, he's 100%, you know, wrestler.
He runs the House of Hardcore shows. Yeah. He takes loans out against his house to put those shows up.
And he's actually going to be at the Impact pay-per-view. He's teaming up, basically it's OVE, Ohio versus everybody. It's Sammy Callahan and the brothers. I can't remember their names now. But it's OVE, and Tommy Dreamer showed up because they're kind of hardcore.
Yep.
He showed up, and he's teaming up with Eddie Edwards and Moose against OVE in a House of Hardcore match.
That's awesome.
So Moose is going to be in a House of Hardcore match.
That's awesome. No, That's great. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some
looking
more
at
names.
The wall.
There's Harvey Whippleman. Bruno's right there.
He should be.
It's really all on the wall.
You think they'll ever put Vicky in? Vicky Guerrero?
Yes. I think she's very deserving. Great heel manager. Tons of great moments. Accidentally said excuse me and it stuck.
Yep.
And she was a valuable commodity, I think, as a GM and as a manager, and I could see her getting in. You know, I mean, it's just weird because you really don't know what the set criteria for what a WWE
Hall of Famer
is.
And sometimes it doesn't seem like there is one. They just kind of grab names and be like we got to fill a spot.
That's kind of like what I got for this one. Like I loved Hillbilly Jim, but you know. In the annals of time, I don't know if he's had, like, you know, a career as one of the best.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I love
the guy. If you say Hall of Fame, you kind of, you may not be able to put it in words, but you have an idea of what a Hall of Famer should be, you know, career-wise. And
one's kind of questionable. That's why Jeff Jarrett can easily go into a pro wrestling Hall of Fame. But a WWE Hall of Fame, I don't think he really was one.
On that note, you know, Sting technically would be too, not in WWE.
Right, right.
I mean, he only had three matches.
Yeah.
Only won one of them.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
we got to see live. We saw his only win.
Warrior got in right before he died.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he died like the week or three days after.
Yeah. Greg the Hammer Valentine, is he one?
He may already be in there.
Okay. He should be.
I think he's in there.
He should be. Honky Tonk Man? I don't think he is.
I think he might be. He may have been like early on, because, you know, they originally started doing it like during the 90s, and it was only like one or two people, and they wouldn't have a big ceremony about it.
Gotcha.
And then they brought it back to where it was like a big deal, like 2005 maybe, and then they start doing it as they're doing it now. And I think he may already be in. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's in. He may have come around at the time that, you know, I don't know.
What'd you think? We're going to move on to topics here. I want to talk a little NXT. What'd you think of the War Raiders debut?
Yeah.
You like War Machine?
Yeah. And I had seen them before. I'd seen them in Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
And, I liked them at that point.
Yeah. Just big, tough dudes.
Yeah.
Really excited.
And I understand why they changed the name, but
yeah.
Sometimes if you're only changing part of the name, it kind of seems pointless.
Actually, there's multiple reasons. A, the former name, and then you also have Heavy Machinery.
Right.
So you can't have too many. There's too many machines, damn right. it. A couple other people. I'm really excited that we have a true stable in NXT now, a stable of four guys.
Four, yeah.
I love the Undisputed Era. So that's exciting. And yeah, I'm really digging with NXT is awesome because you would think, you know, with all the people coming and going into it, people get lost in the shuffle, but I think that's actually one of their strengths. I think I saw an article that said that, like the fact that these guys come in, they get hot, and then they leave. I mean, it just helps the NXT product out a little more.
Nah. And I just had another thought.
What's that?
Something that would be awesome if it would be a great stable and it would seem damn unstoppable for a while, as if Sanity teamed up with Bludgeon Brothers.
I could see it. I really could.
I mean, they just look-wise and kind of gimmick, they kind of fit together.
I could see it.
That would be just a brutal, brutal stable.
Kennedy had some interesting thoughts when we at WrestleMania. He saw the Bludgeon Brothers. He's like they just look like a tag team that the Right Wings would love. Like, they just look like, you know, Trump's favorite tag team. Yeah, we got some good laughs off that. That's that Hall of Fame talk was good. I just can't think of anything off top of my head.
I'm sure there's like obvious ones that we're just not thinking of.
Brian Pillman, if he hasn't been in, I could see him going in one year. Trying to think of like guys that were in stables. Farouk and Bradshaw, they went in together, didn't they?
I don't think Bradshaw's in there.
Bradshaw is a future one.
He's definitely.
Michael
Malenko
never had much of a WWE run. None of the Radicals really did, right, other than Benoit.
Right.
Oh, I said his name.
Yeah.
Which we know he'll never go in.
He never will. But despite that, wrestling career wise,
easily.
He's definitely deserving.
But not, I don't know. I don't see the Malenko. And sorry, Dan, if you're listening. I know that's your boy. And it's no slight against Malenko. Just, you know, him, Perry Saturn, and who was the third guy in the
Guerrero.
Eddie. Yeah. The two of them were, but I just don't see Saturn and Malenko never really had that big run.
Terry Runnels?
That's an interesting thought. I'd have to think about that one. Yeah, she had a run as a women's wrestler. Great manager. Pretty Mean Sisters. Maybe. I could see her do it. I mean, Sunny's in. Why could you not have Marlena in?
Yeah.
So I guess I could take that logic.
I still think Victoria should be in.
I think Mickie James.
Yeah.
Future Hall of Famer, easily.
Because Victoria had a good run when she was in WWE, and then she had an equally good run when she went to Impact, or TNA at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's deserving of it.
Yep.
And speaking of women's wrestling, they did announce second season of GLOW.
Comes out June 29th.
June 29th.
Yes, I am very. I like the commercial too when they're all singing or lip singing to Maniac. He's like, "What are you doing? We got a show to do. Quit it." I'm really excited. I really enjoyed GLOW.
Yeah.
So that's coming back, and it's going to be interesting to see. Like, oh, here's an interesting story about GLOW. Did you hear who Alex Riley beat out to play Steel Horse on that show? He beat out Jericho, and he beat out The Miz for that role.
Okay.
So kudos to him. He beat out The Miz, and The Miz is actually, you know, not that bad of an actor, so I'm surprised. Right. And WWE, you know, they obviously want the wrestlers in there to get some sort of public, you know, PR from it.
Right.
So, yeah, that's pretty funny. So, really, but I'm really excited about that show coming back and see where they go with some of the stories. And it's just a really funny show.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to hit on?
Not that I can think of right now.
How about we do our social media then? Be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast, Facebook.com/Oversell Podcast. You can follow me. I am at Derek, DerickOverSell.
At WolfMike23.
Also, be sure to head over to OversellPod.com and check out the Amazon link right underneath the main player. There's no shopping. There is shopping.
There's shopping, of
course. There's no hidden fees, extra fees, anything like that. We just get a small commission on anything sold through our link that helps out this podcast. And that's it. Mike, any parting words? Oh, yeah, there we have to do our parting words. As we like to end every episode, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you, who is your
Superstar of the Week? I'm going to do two.
Okay.
D-Mac.
Okay.
For getting the call up.
All right.
Coming back to Raw. Really think he's deserving of it. He's one of those that had a lot of potential his first run in WWE, and it seems like they just kind of dropped the ball and didn't know what to do with him. And then once he left WWE, he became a huge star, and they were like, okay, yeah, it's time for you to come back now. We get it. Mm-hmm. And big cast for coming back.
Okay. Couple of returns there. Yeah. I like it. Let's see. I'm going to go with... Trying to think. Let's see here. How about one Shinsuke Nakamura for becoming the best heel in wrestling?
Okay.
So, folks, that is going to be it for this week. The easiest way to get to this podcast is to subscribe on iTunes, and while you're there, leave a comment. Folks, this helps us out with our exposure in iTunes, helps out metrics and everything like that. So, folks,
give us a 5-star review.
And, you know, and if you want to, you can call Dustin 5-star and tell him. Folks, you've been listening to the Oversell Podcast.